in your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read one verse, preaching today on the subject, "In everything, give thanks." We're actually borrowing a statement found in verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me just go ahead and read the verse to you. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And again, Paul said, "In everything, give thanks." This coming Thursday, of course, we all will be celebrating. The country will be celebrating Thanksgiving Day. There's a lot planned that we know this week, and it's always a very special time where families get together and we reflect and give gratitude for how good God's been to us and blessed us in so many different ways. So this morning I wanted to bring a message that would be centered upon the theme, the thought of Thanksgiving, since this week is Thanksgiving week. We see here a great verse, one verse out of many verses. Brother Calvin this morning touched on a Thanksgiving verse in Colossians chapter 4. And there's a lot that the Bible says about the attitude of gratitude, about being thankful. And we really would not have sufficient time to try to detail all the different ways and particulars that we should be thankful. We just wouldn't know where to begin. God has just been so good. In everything, give thanks. This seems like a tall order at a time when there seems to be so much gloom and doom and so many bad things that's happened in our country and in the world for that matter. But God says, in everything, give thanks. Thanksgiving is a natural part of Christian character. A natural part of Christian character. Giving thanks is actually a command. It's not an option. It's a command. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, is another one of those good Thanksgiving verses. So God tells us to give thanks, to be thankful. It is a command. There's been a lot of things written, little humorous comments, stories, illustrations given from time to time that would reference the theme of Thanksgiving. It's like I heard one time of a Sunday school teacher ask the class, what were they thankful for? And this little boy, we'll call him Johnny. We always like to call him Johnny. You know how that joke works. Little Johnny, when the teacher said, what are we to give thanks for? Little Johnny said, my glasses. And the teacher said to little Johnny, well, why? He said, it keeps boys from fighting me and it keeps girls from kissing me. Father asked a little girl to pray for her new brother. And she began to pray. Thank you, dear God, for my new brother, and especially for the fact that he was not twins, like I heard the doctor say might be. I heard of an author one time that painted a picture of a turtle on a fence post. And he's questioned about it, of course. He said, anytime I write anything significant, I remind myself that I didn't get there alone. In that turtle on that fence post illustrated. Now, on a more serious note, there was an immigrant shopkeeper that had a son who always complained about the way he ran his business. The son was criticizing the father. He said, you keep your accounts payable in a cigar box. Your accounts receivable are on a spindle. And all of your cash is in a register. You never know what your profits are. And the old man responded this way. He said, when I arrived in this land, he said, all I owned was a pair of pants that I was wearing. Now your sister is an art teacher. Your brother is a doctor. You are a CPA. Your mother and I own a house and a car in this little store. Add that all up and subtract the pants, and all of those wonderful things are profit. That's a good way of looking at it, isn't it? You know, thanksgiving is a natural response to the grace and the goodness of God who cares and provides. A general attitude of gratitude is permeating our land today. And how sad that is. I mean, it seemed like there's more of a tendency for people to complain and grumble than it is to simply be thankful for what God has done and is. You know, this has become, unfortunately, more the celebration of a holiday than a reflection of an attitude. People are absorbed in celebrating a tradition, celebrating a holiday, focusing just on the meal, or focusing just on what the family would traditionally do, rather than on the significance of what it's all about. Thanksgiving Day does not begin or end on Thursday. Thanksgiving Day should be every day. Every single day of our lives, we ought to be thankful. I posted a little article this morning on Facebook along this thing of Thanksgiving. I believe today that a Christian should carry it a notch higher. You see, the country can celebrate a holiday, but a Christian should carry it a notch higher. Because a Christian sees it as not just the physical, not just the food, not just the health thing. The Christian sees it as a spiritual thing. I mean, after all, I'd say more than likely, next year, if the Lord doesn't come back and if we are here to have another Thanksgiving holiday celebration, most of us will forget about some things that we will do on Thanksgiving Day. Some may even forget about how good the turkey tasted or what recipe went wrong. But I tell you one thing, Christians will never forget what God's done. Amen. We'll never forget our salvation. We'll never forget where we're going to spend eternity. We'll never forget the deep and profound blessings of God. We may forget the temporal things. We may forget the material things. But we cannot forget what God has done in our lives. That's the spiritual level I'm talking about. And that's how we approach Thanksgiving Day. But again, we don't approach it as just a holiday or a tradition. It's actually, we're carrying on what we started the day when God saved us. Just constantly being thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now a little note on the history of Thanksgiving Day. I always like to use this as an opportunity to refresh our memories a little bit on why we have Thanksgiving Day. It never hurts to review history. I know there's an effort in our land to try to destroy history in every way, shape, or form. But we know that history, by the way, I don't care how, I was thinking about this the other day, I don't care how much effort is made to destroy history. Whether we're talking about the history of our nation, whether we're talking about landmarks, whether we're talking about founders, whether we're talking about contributions, we may destroy an object, but you can't destroy the fact of history. There's still the results of it. You can say, I'm going to take this symbol, destroy it. I'm going to take this this particular thing down. But we still cannot destroy the results of history. We're a product of it. But anyway, history in reference to Thanksgiving Day. The Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Testament is perhaps the basis for Thanksgiving. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of the Tabernacle 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." Historically, we could refer to the culture of other countries. We could refer to the Britons, the Saxons, the Scots, who had Thanksgiving Day in Europe in early centuries. In the later century in England, the time was called Harvest Home. North American history, looking at our own country. First Thanksgiving Day, 1578, Newfoundland, by an English minister whose name was Woofall. American history relates to the date 1607 in Virginia and later to Plymouth Colony in 1621. 1621, a band of 49 Puritans, 91 Native Americans, held a special day of thanksgiving to praise the Lord for a bountiful harvest. The previous winter had reduced the number from 102 to 46. We may wonder what they had to be thankful for, but they were thankful for God's grace. Washington called for the National Day of Thanksgiving, 1789. Lincoln established that the last Thursday of November be a day of thanksgiving in America. Congress finally settled the day on the fourth Thursday of November as the official day of thanksgiving here in America. Amazingly, even though many are attempting to unravel American history, the atheists, the infidels, the radicals, and all the rest, thank God it will still stand. History is still history. And we can appreciate the background even for celebration of Thanksgiving. Thereafter the Pledge of Allegiance. Thereafter In God We Trust. Thereafter Christmas and the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure Thanksgiving Day is on their hit list. But let them try. What is, is. Amen? Amen? So what are we thankful for these days? What are we thankful for? Most of the time, I said it earlier, our thanksgiving is for material and physical blessings. We're grateful for financial health, or financial help and physical health, but there's far more. In 1863, I go back to this, 1863, our nation had been bathed in a bloodbath, the Civil War. Blue against gray, brother against brother. Our nation was divided. We think of battlefields such as Gettysburg. We think of various other sites over in Virginia. Antietam, we think of. And different sites. The nation was losing its young men in the Civil War. But yet, Abraham Lincoln still stood up, spoke up, and made it clear we still had something to be thankful for. In spite of the bloody Civil War, the dark days of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln did not let that hinder gratitude for God's goodness. So we can say today, regardless of all of the negativism that's floating and going around all around us, there's never a time but what we don't have something to be thankful for. And I'll tell you the greatest, but thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That works any time, doesn't it? The unspeakable gift is none other than Christ and the salvation He gives. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Sometimes if you can't say, I can't thank God because my health isn't too good, or I can't thank God because my wealth isn't too good, or I can't thank God because my family member is against me, or I can't thank God because this, that, or the other. Just do this. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And that'll get you through. Because after all, that's what it's all about. Let's be thankful for some things I'll mention quickly. Number one, let's be thankful for the fact of victory. The fact of victory. And I'm addressing a select few. The fact of victory. Victory in Jesus, right? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. That's what Christians have. That's what people that know the Lord have. That's what we can count on. I mean, Christians still have victory in spite of their problems. Bad health, all the other things we can mention today, we still can say thanks be unto God for the victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have victory. I kind of line up the word victory with the word freedom. They kind of, in a sense, go together. Freedom means victory. Freedom from sin's power. Freedom from a bad eternity. Freedom from a poor future. In Christ we have victory. The sickest people that have ever lived, that have had to go through sicknesses, that know the Lord is their Savior, still have victory. It's going to get better. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be, let me try to illustrate this way. I'd rather be a person with poor health, poor finances, and live from hand to mouth and know Christ than to be a person that was robust, strong, healthy, a lot of houses, a lot of automobiles, a lot of things, but not know Christ. Put me in the first category. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get better. The future is far brighter than what I see through the rearview mirror for the child of God. Victory in Jesus. We could sing that today, or I could sing that today, but I like this crowd of people that are here. I don't want to run you out. But I'll tell you, that's a good song. Thanks be to God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's be thankful for a positive, powerful message that still works. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Let's be thankful for a positive message. The message of the gospel. Of God's word. Of the truth. Have you listened to news lately? Does it bother you like it bothers me? Oh yeah, I'm a dope. I keep going back and watching. I want to kind of want to know what's going on. But it appears to me that our government right now is being run by a bunch of people that don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. Even a rank liberal said, this current party is a party lacking common sense. Oh, I know this is about Thanksgiving. I mean, well, let's not even go there. You already know what I'm trying to say. There's not a whole lot good by way of news. TV, newspapers, media. I mean, there's just no good news out there. But oh, thank God. This is still good news. This is a positive message. At a time when everything is negative coming from the direction north of here, thank God I get my message above here, don't you? And it's positive. God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's positive. And thanks be unto God which giveth us a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's positive. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. That's positive. We have eternal life through Christ. That's positive. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's positive. So, thanks be to God for a positive message in the midst of a negative world. Let's be thankful today also for the gift of all gifts. And I've already quoted it. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gifts. You know, I love the song that Sister Misty sings. I usually request it. And you know what song I'm talking about. I'm talking about that song that tells us about the Lord Jesus. You can't sing too many songs about Him. You can't say too many nice things about Him. But I like that song, and here's the lyrics portion. And how many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Let's be thankful for the gift of all gifts, the unspeakable gift, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable. The joy that God gives is totally unspeakable. The blessings that God gives are unspeakable. Now, the gifts that man gives, they're speakable. They're speakable. But what God gives is unspeakable. You absolutely can't say too much about it. You absolutely can't find enough adjectives to describe how good it is. It's unspeakable. How can we ever say too much about how good salvation is? How could we ever overemphasize what it means? How could we ever say too much about how good Jesus is? Oh my. I think that's one reason why when we go to heaven, when God's people leave this physical life, it's going to take an eternity. I believe that's one reason. It's going to take an eternity to tell Jesus enough how we love Him. And then it'll take eternity number two and number three. In other words, it's going to take an eternity. Could I say this morning, while many people are planning on their family reunions in heaven, while many people are looking forward to seeing their departed loved ones that have already preceded us in heaven, while many people are asking the question, will I see so-and-so in heaven? Of course, we know you will if they're saved and you're saved. I just somehow believe that when the people of God get to heaven, all of those things will pale in the significance of our getting to the feet of Jesus and praising Him. You know, down here, we don't really get it all, do we? We don't understand praise too well. We don't understand worship. But I believe then, when the veil is lifted, when the flesh is behind us, when there's no longer any sin to impair our memory and our heart's full function, it's going to be all about Jesus then. Now, you know, some people, they might say, well, won't that be rather boring to want to worship and glorify Him throughout eternity? Just let me tell you this. We're here. He's there. We're in these bodies now. We're not in glorified bodies yet. While we're here, we're still inundated, drawn down, affected negatively by this human nature. But then, no human nature, no flesh to impair our love, our zeal, our desire to worship. You see, we've got to understand we can't fully function and think now like we will then. Then, it's going to be all about Him. It's going to be all about that unspeakable gift. I guarantee you, we're going to see Jesus before we see Grandma, or Father, or Brother, or Sister. We want to get to the foot of the what? Who saved us by His grace. We want to get to the foot of the one who saw fit to take us in from the far country of sin. We want to get to the feet of the one who washed away our sins and clothed us with His righteousness and adopted us into His family as a child of the King. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. It has the inspired writer had to use the word unspeakable. Because you can't describe it enough. Unspeakable, just leave it with that. Let's be thankful for the gift of all gifts. Then finally, let's be thankful for the bright future of the believer. The bright future. Health breaks down. Families can split up. Bank accounts can run dry. But God is still good. And the losses and the crosses of this life will be more than compensated by the blessings of glory. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Years ago I heard a preacher say, when you use the word glory, don't just pronounce it glory. Pronounce it glory. It's going to be glory. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. And I like this. For our afflictions. I didn't read it right. How many of y'all caught that? He didn't say for our afflictions. He said for our. You ready for a little bit of a shout? Even some of you deadhead Baptists that have never shouted or never said amen. Hey, loosen up a little bit. You're going to have to do it in heaven. Well, I'd practice here at Smith Grove Baptist Church. Let this be a good practicing ground for your language in eternity. Back to that verse. For our light. For our light affliction. Light. Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us. Hey, catch that. Don't let that pass over. Delve into that verse. And I encourage people to do more than read your Bibles. Study it. Worketh for us. Do you realize that those afflictions that you and I go through are they're employees of us? There are employees. They don't own us. We own them in a sense. Worketh for us. Those afflictions, light afflictions, are working for us. They're not working against us. They're working for us. Back to the verse. Here's what he says. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, yes, but for a moment, think of eternity. You live to be 100 years old, well, whoop-de-doo. How's that compared to eternity? Brother Richard just turned 70, whoop-de-doo, Richard. What's that compared to eternity? By the way, happy birthday to you. Your pastor sang it from the pulpit. Worketh for us. Note this. I'm not through. Our light afflictions, but for a moment, yes, compared to eternity, worketh for us, not against us, for us, catch that, for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Okay, here it is. When the Bible says, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to His purpose, work together for good. Again, tie that in, not against before. That means this. I believe suffering saints, those that suffer sometimes, it would seem, more than other saints, I believe in glory. Perhaps their appearance in glory, the rewards they receive, their place in glory, their part in glory will maybe be more notable than those that went through their Christian life and maybe didn't suffer as much as others. You know, we're going to find out in the end that God singled us out in a special way. Those that suffer as a Christian, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out they were favored in a special way. That's going to affect their status with glory and in glory for eternity. So no one can say, what does God have against me? We're going to find out God had a lot of good things for us. And our suffering, our light afflictions, still light anyway, are going to turn out in glory. We're going to find out then, boy, God really loved me and blessed me more than I realized, because it's working a far more weight of glory. You know what will encourage us when nothing else will? Just get in the Bible. Pull out these great truths. Thank God for them. Be students of Scripture. Every word is significant in Scripture. I've been running my mouth now for 30 minutes, and I've said a whole lot of things this morning, but mostly my fault has been upon the Christian. If you're here this morning or out there watching, and you've never been saved, my friend, you're missing the mark altogether. You need Christ. Then you can tap in on this resource, and you can have your heart really opened and your mind clearer than ever. And I mean, this can be the greatest Thanksgiving you've ever had, because up until this point, it's been a holiday, it's been a tradition. But through saving grace, it becomes all about Christ and how important He is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. A moment of reflection, thinking just a few moments upon this message. How many of God's people this morning would say, and this would be an encouragement, because when I stand behind this pulpit, I want to encourage. How many would say, could say, with an upraised hand, Pastor Peters, I know that I'm saved, but maybe, perhaps, through the aid of the Holy Spirit today, I understand a little bit better about this thing of light affliction. And I understand a little bit better as maybe the why of the affliction. Because I see now it's going to pan out to a better state in glory. And I want to just raise my hand today as a Christian and say, praise the Lord. The Spirit of God taught me something. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, across this building. Praise the Lord. You'd say, the Spirit of God has helped me today with an issue, an area. I've wondered. Maybe I've wondered why good people suffer and bad people get by with everything. But I see today that could be the good people that are suffering, God's just making them special in a way it's going to take an eternity to express. and you'd raise your hand and say, include me in also. God spoke to my heart about that issue. Would you raise your hand? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you that are watching out there in Facebook land and YouTube land, are you unsaved? Has there been never been a time that you can pinpoint it? You've asked Christ into your heart to save you, and you know for sure today you're without Jesus Christ. Whether you be out there or in here, if you're in here, would you slip up a hand and say, preacher, I need to get this thing settled about my soul. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone in this building? Father in heaven, bless this invitation. Bless this time as we not only reflect, but Lord, as we make application. Could be, maybe there could be folks that just need to come to this altar, this front pew. I know the altars are full with examples of gracious giving people that have brought all this food to give away. But there's a place up here somewhere they can find to just bow and say, Lord, help me to not be ungrateful. Help me to just be more thankful on the things that really matter more. If you want to just come today to this altar, do so. But Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Jim, what's the song?
Page 271.